Carol Marine is now on the faculty of DePaul University. She joins us now, and we just heard segment with Dan Rather, September 11th on the evening news. And there you were, covered in soot, talking to Dan on CBS. When you hear that or see that now, what do you think about, Carol?
You know, it brings it all back, Bob. And the weird thing is, I keep learning new things about 9/11 on this particular anniversary. A lovely woman from Arlington Heights, Kate Schaefer Costello, sent me an email saying, "Is this you? It looks like you." And it was a shot of me coming through that horrible black demolition of buildings and people, and a firefighter clamping an oxygen mask on me. And in the distance, in my periphery, I could see a cameraman, but I didn't know who he worked for. And all these years later, she found this video within the huge archive of 9/11. And seeing myself coming out of that exploded building just brought it all back.
Hmm. As you know, when you're covering a story as a reporter, or if you're a photographer, your own emotions are somewhat protected because you're distracted. You're doing your job. Was that true at all for you on that day?
Absolutely. It was utterly true. You said it well. When I initially ran, when the first firefighter who saved me yelled, "Run," I realize that I just stopped hearing or seeing anything except get out of there. And I think you go into a kind of overdrive. We talk about it with doctors and nurses in emergency rooms, that in those moments, you do what you're trained to do, what you need to do, and that's what I did. And everyone along the way who helped me survive was doing the same thing. This morning I talked to the police officer who walked me through that terrible air and soot, and his name is Brendan Duke, and he lives on the East Coast now, and every anniversary we talk to each other and sort of relive a piece of it, or realize that we're still learning the details, because like you said, you shut down everything except what you need to do, and that was, for me, reporting.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever find out who the firefighter was who saved you?
No, and it kills me to this day, because I got everyone else's name along the way. And so I could thank them later again and again. The firefighter I never found, because he turned and went back into that catastrophe. And I don't know if he's dead or alive or healthy or not. Brendan and I talk every year about how are your lungs this year. Both of us have some residual effects of it, but we're functioning, you know, pretty much on all cylinders and grateful for it.
Yeah, we should say that firefighter screamed at you to run, just as a fireball ignited and the North Tower came tumbling down.
Yeah.
I bet when you got back to your hotel later that evening, you had some interesting feelings emerge. What was that like?
I got back to my hotel after midnight. I just worked the rest of the day on CBS News and, you know, doing what we do. Everything changed when I left that night. There were no taxis. There were no cars in the street. I had to walk to the hotel. When I got there, the doors were all locked because you now had to show identification and a room key to prove that you weren't a terrorist. I got to my room and I realized I'd lost some of the skin on my toes, because in running, I kicked off my high heels and ran on the pavement. And I didn't even feel it until I got into the shower, and, you know, it was a stinging thing, and I realized, you know, I shut it all down and did what we do, and sat in front of a TV at 1 o'clock in the morning watching all the reporting, because we were, you know, deeply in a kind of a tunnel for a really long time.
So how difficult is it now on this 25th anniversary to talk about it, to relive it? Is there PTSD still for you?
I had some. I had some in the beginning. It helped me understand PTSD, because any loud noise, for about the first 3 years, any loud noise, like we're taking down a building in Chicago, and and the wrecking ball hit the brick and it came down. And before I could think, I reacted. I mean, it scared me. I'm looking for a plane in the sky. So for a while I had it, but I mean, certainly not what soldiers experience or what police experience, that daily awful stuff that you see. But I'm good. But this anniversary, I have to tell the truth, really came back to me. And when Brendan and I talked this morning, the police officer, he said this anniversary was really hitting him hard too. And, you know, we talked about that. I understood. Mm-hmm. I understood.
Yeah. What's it like for you when you go back to New York City now? I imagine you've visited the memorial.
I have, and only once, and it does bring it back. You know, that Ground Zero smoldered for months. I mean, it was a fire pit for months, and the smell in New York was indescribable and lingered for many, many months. And I still remember it, even though I'm not still smelling it. You know, it... So I go to New York. I don't go to New York a lot, but often enough. And, I'm not afraid to go to New York, but it's just one of those things that it sits in the back of your memory and it surfaces from mm-hmm. time to time.
All of a sudden, we have a generation of people with us who weren't born when it happened or were too young to remember. Talking to students there at DePaul, what do you want them to know about what happened?
Oh, you know, it's all in the context of, you know, you are a reporter and your job is to tell other people's stories. That's why this anniversary is so weird for me, because it comes back to my story, which is a very tiny particle in, you know, this whole landscape. But our students, you know, Bob, we grew up and our parents lived through World War II, but we didn't live through World War II. And so I understand that they don't have an experience with this. It's just the way history is. You do your best to explain it and why it still means something. But then at the end of the day, they're going to understand or they're not. And we have some great students, but they're not desperately curious about 9/11. Mm. And these anniversaries, I think, are good things in reminding us and also reminding us for a time, a flicker of time, we seemed like a unified nation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's been lost again. And I don't want another disaster to be the trigger that puts it back together.
Yeah. Why does it take that to bring us together? Carol Maureen, Carol, thank you for telling a story that is hard to tell and telling it so well then and now. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob, very much.